Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا وبعد. السلام عليكم and welcome to the Quranic Mastery Session. In today's session, I want to discuss with you the ways to increase your wealth and income. This is a really important subject because quite often we hear when people of religious education, when they discuss wealth, they often discuss it from the angle of zuhud, abstinence, and this is definitely something which is praiseworthy in Islam, but I think quite often like zuhud is misunderstood as well, because it is not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to be in a state of lacking. Allah doesn't want you to miss out on the dunya just because you decide to follow the deen of Allah, you decide that Islam is going to lead you to paradise. Allah doesn't want that for you, and inshallah ta'ala today, like, we'll look at the verses of Allah where Allah actually demonstrates to you that He wants you to go out and seek the bounties of Allah. He wants you to attain wealth and possession in this dunya so that your life is more comfortable. It's not that Allah would ever want for you to miss out on the dunya. So, inshallah, we'll discuss that. But more importantly, once we've established that, I want to discuss with you the ways that Allah guides us to increasing our wealth and showing us that we can actually accumulate and be successful. Because, really, that's something that many of us are focused on. In fact, most of the world is focused on accumulation of the dunya. And so, in this session, we're going to be focusing on how Allah guides you to accumulating the dunya so that you can win both in the dunya and the akhirah. So what we find in let's go straight to the verse. In fact, in Surah Al-Jum'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. If you have completed or concluded the prayers, and this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about the five daily prayers, فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَبَتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ, and then disperse in the land and seek from the bounties of Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah says, and then remember Allah a lot so that you may be successful. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you to seek the bounties of Allah, seek the favors of Allah. And then He subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember Him so that you will attain success. So Allah is encouraging you to seek wealth because it will suffice your desires for more, because that's what we want. We humans, we desire for more, and we have been created in that way. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He, the most generous, Al-Kareem, He wants you to have more and to seek it in a way that it will benefit you and not bring you harm. And so in this, the very first thing is, like, to recognize is that Allah begins the verse by saying, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةِ. إِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةِ, if your salah has been concluded, and once you have ended your salah, then Allah says, then go out and seek the wealth or whatever it is that you want from this dunya. And it's very significant, this, because Allah is teaching us about priorities here. Allah gives us the very first priority that you must fulfill is fulfilling your purpose for existing in the dunya. And we know from Surah Al-Dhariyat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And we have not created you, the jinn or humanity, except to worship Allah. So, you know, every believer, every Muslim understands that worship is the reason for existing in the dunya. And so if that's the case, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to you, like, you know, fulfill everything in level of priority. Like, when you've completed your salah, prioritize your salah over all else. When you've completed that, then go out and seek the bounties of Allah. Seek from that which Allah will will give you, because Allah is telling you, Allah would not send you out to seek the dunya if He would not give it to you. And so then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes off by saying, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, like remember Allah a lot. This is being in a state of connection. This is what Allah is telling you. Like dhikr, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ, like this is a verb that's being used. But the verb, it means like to exercise or to actually do the remembrance. Do the remembrance meaning like it's not something that is, we spoke about this in the last session, it's not a static, you know, remember, but it's the remembering ongoing. It's something that you do over and over again. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. كَثِيرًا is a lot. So Allah doesn't tell you just do it once. Allah says do it a lot. Because if you do this a lot, then you will succeed. Because it will help you to stay away from those things in the marketplace, in the dunya, that will always lead you to Jahannam. Because Shaitan, he has made it his mission to lead us to the hellfire. Shaitan has made it a mission to entice us into all of the things that Allah has made impermissible, haram. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you remember Allah a lot, then when you go out seeking in the dunya, then you will always be in a state of awareness. And when you are in a state of awareness, when you're remembering Allah and you don't forget Allah, then what will happen? You will turn away those haram opportunities, because Shaitan will present you with opportunities. The world will present you with opportunities that are displeasing to Allah. And when you are in a state of remembrance, then you will remember that these things are displeasing to Allah, and you will stay away from them, and you will be successful. Because success does not come from attaining the dunya. Success comes from pleasing Allah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go out seeking the dunya, but you know, seek that wealth. Look to increase in your dunya and your possessions, and do it whilst you are in the remembrance of Allah, so that you're not duped, so that the shaitan can't like take you astray because of the strength of your desire. Because one of the problems that we have as humans is that our desires become so strong that we will do the haram in order to attain it and to suffice ourselves and our desires. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you that success is found in the obedience of Allah. And when you are in the obedience of Allah, then you will attain the wealth. There's no doubt about it. So it's interesting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say this, because often we find ourselves trying everything not to remember Allah when we're about to do something sinful. You know that feeling, like you're committing a sin or you're doing a sin, and at that time you purposely block out any thoughts that remind you of Allah. Because ultimately, if when you are reminded of Allah, when you're in the middle of a sin, is that you have this internal struggle. And you don't want that struggle. You don't want that discomfort. You want to continue in the pleasure of the dunya. And as a result of that, you block out any thoughts that remind you about Allah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here that that's the actual solution. The solution is remembrance of Allah. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. كَثِيرًا, a lot. It's not just a little bit. Don't do it once or twice. Do it as much as you can. Because as long as you do it as much as you can, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, like you will be successful, inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the problem you face is your desires for wealth, right? But there is no problem there if you seek it out in the correct manner. So how can you increase your wealth, your income, your rizq in a lawful way where you can attain it in the dunya, like attain it in the dunya and have it and still be considered someone who is a zahid, someone who is abstinent from the dunya? And because this is a very important question, because for you to abstain from the dunya whilst at the same time accumulating it, then you know it seems like it's a contradictory, but it's actually not. And we know this from one of the famous statements of the statement of Imam Ahmad, who was asked about whether you can be wealthy and at the same time be a zahid, and he said that as long as you hold that wealth in your hand and not in your heart. And so what do you hold in your heart? You hold in your heart Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that you are in a constant state of awareness of Allah, your heart is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as a result of that, like, you will not do the haram to attain that wealth. And but, you know, as a result of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase you in your risk, increase you in your sustenance. So in this session, inshallah, we will talk about seven different ways that you can increase in your wealth. But it's important to understand that there are two aspects to this, and we will deal with the most important aspects, as well as the physical aspects. But the most important aspect is that you have to recognize that when you go out to seek the dunya of any sort, any accumulation of any type of wealth or anything from the dunya, like, what you're trying to do is you're trying to satisfy your desires. You're trying to satisfy your quench for more, and really, is the satisfaction comes from when you attain it, you've now got this internal happiness. So the very first thing that the very first point that we look at is, one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches you, acknowledge the wealth you already have. Acknowledging the wealth that you already have is the most important step, because that is what will create true happiness for you right now. See, we seek out, as I said, we seek out more in the dunya, more in our wealth, more in more children, more everything. We seek it all out in order to be happy. And the truth is that you don't need to look for more to be happy. You don't need more dunya to be happy. Like, happiness comes from within. Happiness is already inside of you. And most of us, we find that, you know, we become stressed out and fall into a state of panic because of the constant, you know, competing to get more. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us that the increase in wealth, like, to increase in your wealth, you have to start off in a place of worship. Because if we go back to this verse, Allah says, إِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا. Like, if you finished the salah, if you completed your worship, then go out in seeking the dunya. So when you start from a place of worship, you are starting in a place of abundance. Your mind is already settled, because if you believe there is never enough in the dunya, then no matter how much you accumulate, you'll always be in this poverty mindset. You'll always think there's not enough. Doesn't matter how much you attain, you'll always feel as though you haven't got enough. So the very first thing that we do is that we acknowledge all of the blessings already in our lives. Because when you count the blessings in your life and you're grateful to Allah, Allah will of course increase you in that. But most importantly, like, you will be in an abundance mindset where you already feel as though you have been sufficed. You've got what you need, and anything more is excess, is extra. And that's the best way to start, by looking at what you have in life to begin with. Do you have a moderately healthy body? If you do, then know that this is the greatest wealth that you could ever have. Health is more important than anything. Like, do you have, like, wealth, enough wealth to purchase your food and your clothing, your shelter? Like, do you have enough to keep you going for the next month, or two months, or 6 months, or even a year? Do you have, like, gadgets? Do you have mobile phones? Do you have entertainment? Like, do you have a vehicle? Do you have a bicycle? Like, do you have access to transportation, like buses and trains, that you can regularly use, you can afford to pay for? Because look, if you have all these things, these are the basic necessities of life plus extra. And if you already acknowledge at the beginning that you have all of that, then you have a lot to be grateful for. And when you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will always increase you for more. But we begin with an abundance mindset. And if you begin with an abundance mindset, you will always, always have more. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. Allah says that indeed Allah is the bestower of bounties upon the people. Allah is like the most generous to the people. But indeed, the people are not thankful.
Such a struggle trying to climb the ladder of success. Living in a world where every day my strength is put to the test. But I face that test with courage, and I just won't be discouraged. I'm determined, you see, to reach my
possibility.
Now I've run across so many things that could block me, but I made up my mind. Just no limit to all the great things I can do. I see my possibilities. Just woke up and found it here in me. Nothing but green lights ahead of me. I'm looking for the down the track. Straight ahead, I'm on the back of my mind. I hold the vision of my destiny. And it keeps me, I will strive. Because I know what's inside me is so much more than I can see. It's so much that I can become. That's why I'm reaching for the sun.
I see my possibility. Just woke up and found them here in me. Nothing but green lights ahead of me.
I'm looking further down the track. Straight ahead, I'm on the back.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمد رسول الله. My brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala barakatuh to you all.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi barakatuh. We gotta start the live side.
Yeah. So what do we got? You good?
The streaming,
did I not do that?
The streaming isn't live.
Oh, okay. Well, all that good, lovely goodness, they didn't get their shot of it, huh? As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. A double scoop of love for you all on the Facebook side, YouTube side. Mashallah, you'll be coming in, and this will all be in the history. Alhamdulillah. So I see you got that green memo. You got that green memo today, huh?
Let me tell you, we just communicating on a cellular level, you and I. Right now. So,
there you go.
Hey, I got the memo.
Yeah, it's all good in the hood. All right, alhamdulillah, so wonderful. We got a very special program today. What we're going to do, we're going to have our normal portion from Hajjah Kamila Shuaib, my co-host. But we will also be joined by our special guest, Clyde El-Amin, who you'll learn more about, and Sister Fitra Muhammad. And we're going to spend the balance of an extended program tonight with highlighting the upcoming conference to be held at the American Islamic College in Chicago. And all of that, you know, is just peppered with learning more about really our history. We can never, ever, ever underscore and etch and sketch more and more of that history, because when we talk about intergenerational wealth, And it is definitely my intention, beginning even at this moment, to emphasize that our wealth is not just or necessarily even the material wealth. It is the wealth of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, as was our emphasis. So, alhamdulillah, I got to tell you, you know, people have been checking in on that Facebook piece for the 50th anniversary. You know, we're gonna go ahead and treat it like the elephant in the room and just get it out the way and then push on,
right? You can't get away with it like that. Like, you and your wife earned all of this. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, may it be a goal for us all to survive on this earth side realm, the work that it takes to nurture and maintain marriage. So, yes, they should.
Alhamdulillah.
Be like, yes,
then we're going to, for the record, let everybody know that my prime conspirator, as is the case here right now, my partner in time right now, Hajja Kamila Shuaib, she was the I use this in the best way, the puppet master of the whole operation, and it came through without a hitch. We got back across the border without getting caught, so it was all good. mission accomplished. Allahu Akbar.
Alhamdulillah. Yes.
Let me get out the way, sweetie, and you do what you do, so we'll have our guests coming in soon. So. Don't want to cut you short at all. All right,
no worries.
You got it. Assalamu alaikum.
All right. Alhamdulillah. Alaikum assalam. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to our listeners on Blog Talk as well as those on YouTube and Facebook. I am Hajja Kamila Mahasin Shuaib, and I am happy to once again be sharing space with you on this beautiful Monday. We made it to another Monday. We are here with a brand new opportunity to do better, to build wealth, to build education, to touch another person's life and inspire them to keep on going, to remind them of how much love Allah has for us and that Allah wants the best and the most beautiful experience for us in this lifetime. And in us doing the best that we can and striving for excellence in this lifetime, that something even far greater awaits us beyond this life. And so I am honored to be able to share spaces like this and have these kinds of conversations that encourage us to know that we are enough, right? That we are enough and that we came here with everything it is that we need in order to live the best life that Allah has promised, right? So, yes, my father mentioned about the anniversary yesterday, and I'm a student of life, right? I'm a student of life. I pay attention to every experience that I have because I know that in every experience is a lesson, and every experience is an ayah, a sign for me and those that I come in contact with. And starting early on this morning, the conversation I had with my morning group was about this ideal of resources, that Allah has given us all of the resources necessary to live a full and beautiful life, right? So the Quran is a resource. Our family and community is a resource. Our pioneers and those that came before us were our resources. They left behind tools necessary for us to be able to navigate this thing. They left us tools that help us to avoid the pitfalls or shortcomings that they may have encountered in order to make it easy for us. So when I think about the Quran as a resource, let's just start there first. The Quran as a resource, that my experience with the Quran has been made easy by those that came before me. Those that came before me had a real struggle in understanding that you have access to the word. You have access to having a real conversation and relationship with Allah through this book. And not only that, the experience of us as Bilalians, as indigenous Africans here on this side of the continent, that there was a time where reading was absolutely not afforded us, we could not have access to reading, right? It was something we had to truly fight for. And now we're in a time where it's everywhere. Like, the opportunities for us to read and have access to reading is regular. It's a regular thing. It's not something we have to sneak and do. It's not something that we will lose our life over if we do read. So that level, that layer of reading was handled, right? So we were an unlettered people for a very long time, and we had to fight for the opportunity to be able to communicate and learn how to read, right? So even in that, in learning how to read, that reading is not just in the alphabetical sense, not just in the sense of ABC reading, right? But read, when people say language like read the room, right? Reading the room, it requires us to tap into that intuitive self and to tap into that part of us of trusting, like, okay, does your heart waver when you enter a certain space? Like, when you're reading the room, it's like, okay, something in here is just not feeling right, and then you make the decision based on that. And we make the decision not based on fear, but it may be a decision based on being regardful of what you may be opening yourself up to if you enter a certain environment, right? So it is strongly discouraged for us to enter into environments where there are intoxicants all over the room, or, you know, certain types of behavior that we do not engage in. So if you enter into that space, know that you got to read the room like anything, something can go left, and you may not be prepared for it. Or do we make the decision to say, I'm not going to choose to put myself in those environments that can put my well-being at stake, right? So that's reading, right? It's reading when, you know, you can recognize the change in moods of, like, if you're a teacher, you can see how the children move. If they become restless, it's like, oh, okay, this must be nap time. They don't say directly, hey, teacher, I'm ready to take a nap, right? But their behavior suggests that they need a moment to breathe and calm down. They need a moment to lay down and regroup and find a place for this uncontrolled energy, right? So we create those spaces. So as adults, we have this ability to read the room, right? So when we look at the seasons, the changing of the seasons, like now we have, you know, we have the satellite, we have, you know, the Doppler system and whatever those different weather pattern systems are out there. We can type it in on our phones and they'll say, you know, we might have a chance of high winds by X time. But that wasn't always the case. It has been made easy for us over time in history and science that we now have a tool that allows us easy access to be able to determine what our travel will look like, for us to be able to determine what our gardening patterns will look like, for us to be able to determine if, okay, I need to pull out my winter clothes now and put away my summer clothes, right? So all of these things we're able to start to pay attention to. So here we are, as always, my little earbuds I have to always hang on to. I have one of those weird-shaped ears, right? So here we are with the Quran, right? And my community, the community that was nurtured and led by Imam Muhammad, and we continue to maintain that legacy, and we're obviously going to have some of those leaders in this space today. I am first generation, born in a Muslim household, right? And the experience that my parents had to experience and their peers had to experience to dive into the Quran was a much more, it required a different level of determination. It required a different level of faith and belief and drive to really want this book, really want their freedom, to really want to know what their relationship is with Allah, their relationship with God. They were determined, right? And so there's a value that's placed on it for those that came after because they know what they had to go through to even have access to it. You know, first of all, we are a people that didn't really quite master the English language, but then here we are coming into it and absorbing the Quranic Arabic, not the Arabic of the Arabs, but the Quranic Arabic, right? And we have dedicated ourselves in a way of understanding, in a way of making sense of the language, and in a way that speaks to us and speaks to our experience so that we can get the richness of what is in this book. And so we have these pioneers that created these tools that we don't have to face those same obstacles, that we don't have to run into an issue around feeling like we are not adequate, right? And this is the beauty of the leadership of Imam Muhammad, right, that this leadership allowed us to be okay with being independent thinkers, it being okay with us finding our individual, I coined this term for myself. You heard it here first. If somebody else uses it, you're going to know, nah, Camila said that, right? So I'm going to take my little credit on this, as I call it, scriptural couture, right? Because I work mostly with women, and we understand couture. Couture is that special, tailor-made, like it is specific to you, your style, your energy, your experience, your look, your vibe, all of those things, right? So scriptural couture is that when I go into the Quran and I embrace it, being accountable for what is my highest self that is approaching this book and those parts of myself that need work. Those parts of myself where I need to better understand, you know, how I approach salat, like those areas of my life. So when I go into it, I am going into it seeking to be expanded, seeking to expand my capacity to be better, expand my capacity to strive for excellence. Like this is what we come to this book for, because like I said, I want success for my servants. I want success. I want good. I want you to get the beauty of this world and this earth and this experience. And in you doing that, I'm still going to give you more beyond this experience, right? Yes, there will be challenges, but know that these challenges are only there to strengthen your muscle for you to practice al-Islam. So it's like practice. It's like you're always, every day is the game, but you practice in all the time. And then there's a moment that will challenge that part of ourselves that says, did you quite understand what it means to be charitable? Do you fully understand what it means to be patient? Do you fully understand what it means to fast beyond just I'm not eating food, but to really fast? What does it mean to fast, right? That all of those experiences, we have a chance to practice it every day and master those parts of ourselves. And in the striving to master those parts of ourselves, we have to maintain this understanding that there's always something that needs improvement. And when the improvement shows up, we need to celebrate it. We need to celebrate it. And we celebrate it because it's like, oh, okay, Allah, you give me another chance to get it right here, because the book closes when I leave here. Like once this journey is over, it's closed. There's no fixing beyond that other than what I have invested in this life. And I don't mean invested in as far as dollars, though that is important. That's a component. But how did I invest in the relationships and the people in the community? How did I invest in the mind? How did I invest in teaching? How did I invest in starting a movement or understanding and love for what it is that you have given us, right? So this legacy, right? This legacy of Quran and understanding that I have been blessed to experience as a result of those that have come before. I still have, you know, we have books and lectures Imam Darnell Kareem. I have books and lectures from Imam Qasim. I have books and lectures from Imam Muhammad. I have books and lectures from so many imams here that are still with us and those who have transitioned. And I benefit from the experience that they had to go through. I can't think of it being easy. I can't imagine it being easy. Just even on a low level, when I think about my son, who is 27, when he went into high school, you know, he was fasting in high school. He didn't have any, it wasn't even a thought to feel a way about being Muslim in a public school where it wasn't all Muslims there. It just was not a struggle for him. Whereas when I was growing up in middle school, when I look about in the 80s, you know, and early 80s to through the mid 90s, I graduated high school in 1990, that this ideal of being Muslim was a space of full and total bullying. It was a space of, my father was not someone that everyone didn't know. You know, my best friend who now lives in Kentucky, she said, yeah, your dad's the man with the black chalkboard. Because we used to have public TV slots. And he had a black chalkboard. She said, your dad's the man with the black chalkboard. I think because he came pick me up once he saw him. And so he was popular and it was just not something that I could hide away from, that I was the Muslim girl whose father taught about Allah, which they had never heard much about at all. And it was just this space of, okay, as a teenager, you kind of feel a little insecure, like you're different. You know, and it's easy to say, well, it's great that you're different. But as a teenager, you seek community. You seek your peers. Like you thrive on the need to have a community, to the point that we sacrifice the goodness of who we are in order to be accepted, right? But now here we are in a day and age and in an era where young people are now elementary, middle school, are showing up and they're like, yeah, no, I'm Muslim, and sure, I'll bring my mom in to talk about Islam, or I wear my scarf to school, or it's Eid at this time, so we're going to bring in some books. We got adults who have written children's books about Islam and Eid and, you know, Jamal's first prayer rug and all of these different components, that there was an experience that has happened leading up to that moment that says, you know, representation matters, the representation of who we are. So here we are in a time where the Quran is easy access. We can type in the root word of it, and then we get all of the words, right? We can go, we have the corpus Quran where you look up, what, how many times does it say community in the Quran? And we can just go right to that. Whereas somebody had to go through the work in order to get us to that point, to make it easy for those that came after. That's the investment, right? So here, when we look at the transcript that the imam has left us over the years from his teachings, that there's a language that comes with who we are, sets us apart, and gives us a very different perspective on how to live this beautiful life of al-Islam. And in living this beautiful life of al-Islam, this Islamic experience is untouched. It is uncut. It is straight up without any confusion, you know, melded into it in order to support someone else's oppressive agenda. And the imam freed us from that to be able to show up in our fullest authentic self. And this is the time that we live in. So we have to show, like, how are we investing and carrying these tools forward in order for us to live the best parts of this life and to really engage and read from the space in which it is best for our soul and for our livelihood and for the community and for ourselves in this time and in the times to come. So I believe that is my time. I'm going to call the imam back into the room, inshallah. Or I could keep going. And I don't mind that either. So those that are with us here, you know, in the comments area, if you have any questions, please put them in there. I want us to understand that, like, ultimately, just even in what I'm sharing now in this space, that, you know, there are so many parts of us, because we think about the Quranic Arabic being intimidating, like it's difficult for us to engage this beautiful book, right? And I have to say that was absolutely my experience early on, and, you know, because I was getting so technical and so much in this space of there's a certain way I have to approach this, right? And it's not about approaching the Quran to conquer it, right? To say, I know this many ayat. Let me see. I finally just taught a dear family, built a national Muslim online library, put out the call to the community online, and first create the archives. NewAfrica.com radio has a lot of imam speeches. I felt like them. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so very much, Brother Derek Ward. Yes, there's just tons of resources, but these resources and these resources came as a result of over time the dedication of continuously recording, writing, teaching, you know, keeping track of the conferences and the talks, and someone who chose to build, like what you're saying, this Muslim online library that allows us to go right to it and get right to what it is that we're looking for. So there's really no reason for us to feel like it's something that we can't approach. It is absolutely accessible to us. Allah has given us all of the resources for that success. And so let us utilize those resources and be someone that maybe creates additional resources as well, inshallah. Yeah, get that.
We're back.
We're back. Alhamdulillah.
All right. All right, alhamdulillah. So thank you so much. Let me see. Another guest will be checking in shortly. I have a name holding the space. Is there a voice behind it? There she is.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I think you're muted,
all right.
Auntie Fisher.
Yeah, fine. Do I have? Let me make sure I don't have you muted. No, you're unmuted on my side. So check your mute. I don't know what to tell you.
Everything I think it's on the Blog Talk side.
Okay, well, no, I haven't opened her. Correct. You know what? I haven't opened on the Blog Talk side, so therefore. Shitro, is your number 618? Not 618. I can't hear you. Are you going to dial in on the Blog Talk? Okay, I see you nodding, but I can't hear you. So go ahead and chime into the Blog Talk, you know, send in, push one on the phone, and then I can bring your audio in on that side of it. On this side, I really don't know what I can do for you. The only thing, I don't know, maybe you can reload your page. I don't know. I'm just guessing because your live side, okay? All right, so I'm going to wait until I see you come up, push one on your phone, and then we'll go from there. And our brother Clyde, he has the same link.
She's live on the page, on the Facebook YouTube page. The only place we're not hearing her is Blog Talk. Like, I can hear her from the computer.
Okay. So go ahead and dial that first number, Fitra, and then push one, and then I know I can get you there. I'm going to, is it safe to assume that Clyde has the same link that you had to get to us? Should be fine. Okay. Okay, so Syndicate, let me go ahead and throw this up since while we're waiting, because the balance of tonight's portion is going to be about the event that's coming up with Study Al-Islam. Scriptural couture, is it?
This is your
neologism. That's what you call it, neologism.
Yes.
Cut your your speaker off. Your speaker is off?
Okay, it's off. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that's good stuff. Fitra. Fitra? Oh, who? Oh, 312. Maybe this is Clyde. Clyde, is this you?
This is Clyde. This is Clyde. I did the other number first, but obviously I was the wrong, ending up in the wrong place. So I decided to try the other one.
Yes. So now you're 312. Okay, 202 must be you, Fitra. So I'm gonna take a shot at it.
Can you hear me?
Take your speaker out if you have a speaker there. Because it's on your computer.
Turn it down on my computer?
Yeah, turn it down on.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you fine. I want to make sure you can still hear me.
I can hear you very well, but I have to say this. When I was listening to Camilla, I kept saying to myself, boy, if that's not Fahim's child.
Alhamdulillah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gracious. You
Mashallah.
Are
amazing. Let me say this. Clyde, are we going to get you on visual or not?
If you tell me how to do it, I can go on visual. I actually put on a decent shirt and everything.
Follow the link. She said she sent you the link.
I did.
And do that.
I did follow the last instructions she sent me.
StreamYard. Anything that says StreamYard, that's the link that you're looking for.
Let me see if it's down here. Okay, you know what?
I see it.
It's at the bottom. No, I see it, Fitcher. I have to send that to my email. Okay, StreamYard.com, BS97.
Yeah.
When I hit that, though, it tells me. Okay, you know what? I can – on my phone. I was trying to get it on my computer. You're saying I don't need to get it on my computer.
Well, if you're gonna wherever your camera is, if
my camera's on the computer, that's
computer.
Why I was trying to get it. Yeah, the one on my phone is not really. It's kind of pitiful.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna drop it in my browser.
Right.
It seems like that would do it.
Yes.
On your computer.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, I'm saying in the browser, my computer, the StreamYard link, which is okay. I'm gonna copy it and put it in. And then put it in a blank window and then paste it. Okay, see what happens. Oh, it goes to 404, says StreamYard 404, whoops, there's nothing here. And then it says go to the home page.
Okay, I'll tell you what. We're going to do this live. It's beautiful. We're all growing together. Okay. So what I want you to do... Clyde, tell me what your email address is. Go ahead. This will be the easiest way I can shoot it to him. Right.
Go ahead.
Let me stay with you, Clyde. Go ahead and tell me what your email is.
It's Clyde K. Elamine.
C-L-Y-D-E-K-E-L-A-M-I-N. E-L-A-M-I-N.
Mm-hmm. At ATT.net.
E-L-A-M-I-N at ATT.net. Let me read it back to you. Clyde K. Elamine at ATT.net. All right, so that's
just ATT. Just ATT. Yeah.
I think I said at uh-huh. I meant to if I didn't. So check your email. So you should have the link directly in your inbox now. And so then you can just click that, and that should bring you home, brother. Inshallah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
There
it is, Fahim Shuaib. Yeah. Okay. And just hit the link.
It works for me. Go ahead. Let's see what happens.
You're entering a broadcast studio.
Decent
lighting, et cetera. Check your camera and mic. Okay, there's my camera. And do you hear me? Oh, I'm gonna hang up on the phone. Do you want me to keep talking to you on the phone?
You have to stay on the phone because that's a blog talk.
We're simulcasting.
So, but what you have to do if your speaker is on, take it out when once we get connected.
The computer speaker or the phone speaker?
The computer speaker is the main thing to take out.
Okay, so I'm going to just hit mute here.
Okay.
See what happens. Okay, so I'm on mute.
Now we're waiting for you to hit that link, hit that computer link, so you can finalize your opening up.
Where it says enter studio, or are you talking about?
Yes, enter studio.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
Now we see your handsome face, brother.
Okay.
Now take the speaker out. So take out the speaker on your computer. Take it out.
Oh. Okay. Just turn it on silent. Yeah. I should be able to silent it.
All right.
Now.
Oh, you know
what? I can take it all the way down. Yeah. It's a zero volume. That's it. Yeah, that's it.
Now, can you hear me? Now, I hear you well.
Do you hear me now?
I do.
I don't hear you anymore. That's why I'm asking.
Are you sure?
Let me try.
You sure you don't? You should be hearing me through your radio connection. Oh, my bad.
Okay,
I got you. Look, you got me?
I got you back.
All right. I'm still hearing two sounds.
Okay, let me mute again over here.
Your telephone. Now you still hear me? Connected? I do.
Okay.
But I hear me too.
And I'm not connected to you by phone anymore. We should be okay.
Actually, you are.
I am. Oh, I need to hang up.
Clyde, we hear you very well. Look, let the sister step in here right now. Sister, tell
go
us.
Ahead, go ahead, go ahead.
We hear you and we see you.
But
now
see,
he cut himself off from the
telephone. All right, we're going to get this worked out.
No.
So text him and let him know to call back in on the Blog Talk number. Don't change anything on the computer side of it.
Okay.
And we'll get it worked out. Everybody online, mashallah, you understand. Look, I mean, I went through similar changes when I first started using this platform. You know, there's a learning curve to all this stuff. And this is telling us also about, and again, intergenerational, right? I mean, Camila, she's done workshops for the women of Meshedawar Athene to give them, to more information about how to engage this technology. And when Muslims, quote-unquote, fell off at the time, we did fall off about 500 years after the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the sense of no longer being in our golden age. That situation was because of how far behind the burgeoning technology we, the Muslims, actually were at that time. And we still suffer a little bit from that as far as Bilalians are concerned. All right, so Clyde is back. Hold on. Okay, Clyde, you are linked. Now, what are you using on your computer?
When you say what am I using?
You have to take my voice out of it. This is what's happening. I'm getting feedback, and it has to be coming from your computer.
Okay.
Just turn the volume.
Clyde, you have a button that turned your sound up and turned your sound down.
Okay.
On your computer.
I turned my volume down now.
Okay.
All right, let's see. Now we're together. You hear
we're
me
together?
Clyde?
Yeah, I hear you well.
Black beer.
So, hello, so let that be a lesson for the day. All of you watching and viewing and having patience with this whole process, that's what you got to do in order. You got to hang on long enough to get what you need. You have to hang in there long enough to get what you need.
Yeah.
And don't trip. Just take a breath and do what you got to do. And then sooner or later you get there. In the ma'al ursri yusra. Now, you know, listen, we family, right? And since we family, we could always joke with each other, cap with each other, et cetera,
yes,
et cetera,
yes.
Right? So mm-hmm. So now I'm about to read a little bit of his bio to tell y'all how smart Clyde is.
Oh, brother. I have to get on picture about that bio thing.
Wait, but I got to tell you this. The joke is when you hear somebody say takbir, it means the imam is coming.
Yeah, that's what it meant.
Oh,
hey,
my goodness.
Allahu Akbar. I mean, this is rich, okay? And we're just going to kill off this time, you know, using that in the best possible
okay,
way.
Go ahead.
Just together, being just like we are. I'm not trying to be all, you know, cooked up and formal. That's not me, you know. It's like, we can be formal at times when it's time to be formal. We got to be family. We're in a situation where we got to be like family at the kitchen table. You know what I'm saying? We got to be like, okay, what's
yes.
really going on? You know? Now we ain't got to air no dirty laundry or anything like that. We know everybody got
Jeez.
Some, right? But in the context of the seriousness of what needs to be done, right? That's the spirit. That's the spirit that I'm taking us in. And that's the invitation from me to all of us as guests. I am going to read this just a very short portion of the bio, and I know how it is, Brother Clyde, in terms of you know the kind of the shyness that comes and the humility, and that's why you are who you are, and that's why you are where you are, and that's why you've left the kind of footprint in this community that you have left. Because you're not into flattery, you're not into self-aggrandizement, you know, degrees are not the ego boost that people feed on for you. That's not my experience with you. And God has given me, mashallah, inshallah, and I don't want to spoil his grace, but Allah has given me a pretty good Geiger counter, I'll put it that way, for crap. Yeah, so.
That's
and
a chief survival mechanism in our community, brother. That's a chief
absolutely.
Survival tool in our community.
Absolutely. So I get no.
And I'm not talking about our Muslim community. I mean our ethnic community. We have
well,
to have
no,
that Geiger counter.
Hey
yeah.
man, shoot! A lot of people get played off once they become Muslim because they didn't get enough from the block, right? And then you came inside.
Absolutely
you thought
right.
everybody with a kufi and a thobe and a pair of zikr beads was you know where you trying to go you know they say nah, I seen pimps when I was on the block right so I recognize no matter what kind of clothes they wear but I'm digressing right now let me go ahead and read this bio
very yeah. much.
Clyde El Amin has that. This is just a short thumbnail of a thumbnail, okay. But we need to give people a setting because there are some people, believe it or not, that don't know Clyde El Amin.
Sure.
or Fahim or Fitter or Camila. Here we go. Clyde El Amin has had a long career as an educational and managerial leader, having retired after serving successfully in numerous positions, including president of two local community colleges. He is actively involved in entrepreneurial and community service efforts in the Chicago area. He has served on advisory and governing boards of multiple not-for-profits committed to youth service, healthcare, education, community development, and leadership development. These include serving as the current board co-chair of Inner City Muslim Action Network and a member of the board of directors of Insight Hospital and Medical Center. He has served on the boards of youth development organizations such as the former Hales Franciscan High School, Leadership Development Institute, and Hip Hop Detox. He was previously also a member of the Advisory Council of Upward Bound at the University of Chicago. He served as a member of the Muslim American Advisory Committee to former Illinois Governor Pat Quinn. Mr. El-Amin has served 30 plus years in college administration in numerous leadership positions, including as president of Olive Harvey College and Kennedy King College, two community colleges in Chicago. He has also played a significant role in establishing the Clara Muhammad School System under the leadership of Imam Warthidi Muhammad Rahim Al-Awlay. After earning a Bachelor's of Arts degree in psychology at the University of Michigan Ann Arbor, he pursued graduate studies at the University of Michigan Rockham Graduate School, the University of Illinois in Chicago, and Spertus College, where he earned a Master's of Science degree in nonprofit management. That's going to be the end of my reading of the thumbnail of the thumbnail for our very special guest. And Sister Fitros, what do I say? Do we say, she needs no introduction? She introduces herself well wherever she presents. If Fitcher is there, you will know it. It doesn't matter how calmly she comports herself, which she always does. She bears and carries an energy that is very, very forceful. A force of nature, quiet but powerful. And we appreciate the great work. And we're going to get more into respecting what has been done, the work that has been done. Haja Kamila was just talking about how the difficulty that those people who were like her parents and the like had to face at a level that she had to recognize because of the challenges that she faced. But then also seeing that generations coming after us are dealing with different types of challenges. And so many of these successes that we're looking at have come, yes, at a cost in certain ways, no doubt. It's coming, but everything costs something. Mashallah, we just want to make sure that we value the sacrifices of those who are still with us and those that have gone before, and prime of which, at this point in the focus of our broadcast tonight, is the work of Imam Warthidi Muhammad. So Sister Fitcher and Study al-Islam has, you know, established itself as a juggernaut of Islamic teaching, some of the best minds, hearts, and spirits in the Association of Imam Warthidi Muhammad have been blessed and fortunate. Myself, I count myself as that. My co-host, I'm sure she counts herself as that as well, to be a part of the platform that is providing the way by which we can amplify and underscore and perpetuate and promote Imam Muhammad's legacy and his language and his logic. And so this is where we are. This is the foundation for today. And wherever the conversation goes after that, that's it. I'm expecting for our Sister Fitra to give us the details about the upcoming program as we go on in our conversation. So it'll be part formal, part informal, but we really want to inform people about the sessions themselves and give them all those reasons why they should be there. But I also want to take advantage of this as an opportunity to really let the people in our audience really get something added to your perspective on Imam Warthidi Muhammad. And this is a platform that's really, really dedicated to making sure that the appreciation for the Imam is heightened, is increased, and not just out of some good fellow feeling. Imam Muhammad is a utility. He's a utility. He's a tool. He's something who has delivered us what, man, I'm going to stop in a minute, believe it or not. The thing that comes to mind right now is like a mountain climber, you know, a mountain climber. You know, if you're a mountain climber, you can see the mountain climber strapped up with all kind of stuff. They got ropes and they got pulleys and they got axes and they got tacks and nails and different things like that, because that's what you're going to need to climb that mountain. Well, that's what Imam mm-hmm. Muhammad, rahimahullah alayhi, he has provided for. Y'all trying to go up this mountain right here? You're going to need this. You're trying to make it? You're going to need that. You're going to need that. And those who move higher in the mountain are those who make the best use of the tools that the Imam has left behind. I'm going to stop with that analogy. I'm going to invite Tricia. Say whatever you want to. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. Go ahead.
First of all, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I want to thank you for inviting me and Clyde, who has come along kicking and screaming, but he's been such a valuable voice. He's been such a, he'll probably speak on that when he gets this opportunity, but he's been such a valuable voice in helping me to promote this conference. I just wanted to say that to start off is that Imam Muhammad asked us to give him a good future. And, you know, Imam Muhammad taught us that that we need to think about things in concepts and not the individual. And when I thought about what did he mean when he said give him a good future, and I thought about that concept, it took me to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when he gave his last sermon. And I understand Imam Muhammad said he made a dua at the end of his talk. And this is what he said. He said, all those who listen to me shall pass on my words to others, and those to others again. And may the last ones understand my words better than those who listen to me directly. Be my witness.
Fitra, hold up. I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm getting notes that people can't hear you. I'm sorry. That's what they're telling me.
Can you hear me now? I don't know what to say. I'm on the phone. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but I've gotten a number of texts to say I don't know why they can't.
I'm not on mute. I'm on my phone. I hear you perfectly well. I heard Clyde. I heard Camilla.
I hear you.
Can you hear me, Clyde?
That was Clyde.
I hear you well. I hear you better when you hold that near your mouth.
Okay, so I have the microphone up to my mouth. Is this better?
Yeah, I could hear you all the time, but maybe that's a little louder.
Okay, well.
Do you have your speaker on your computer, Fitcher?
Turned down?
Have it on or not?
Yes,
Ismail said it's a Facebook issue. There's one of our regular members said it's a Facebook issue. So go ahead, Fitcher. We just have to go on. I mean, you were
okay.
Set the way that it is. Anybody else? I tell you, for some reason you can't connect. Then let me tell you, just go ahead and call the Blog Talk number 626-414-3537 626-414-3537 I don't have any explanation for it. And you know, once we get to going like this, you know, Jacoby is going to do what he's going to do anyway. So we just have to press on and ask Allah's help, and it's going to be good. Go ahead.
I was saying that what came to my mind when Imam Muhammad said to give him a good future, it was the dua that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said in his last sermon. And I will read it. It's very short. He said, all those who listen to me shall pass on my words to others, and those to others again. And may the last ones understand my words better than those who listen to me directly. Be my witness, O Allah, that I have conveyed your message to your people. So when I said to myself, what could Imam Muhammad, what do I think he meant when he said, give me a good future? He wants us to pass his word on, to those who come after me, those who come after Camilla, and just continue to pass this word that he, Imam Muhammad, has conveyed the message of the Quran and the leadership of Prophet Muhammad to us as a people. And so this conference has been strategically set up. If you go to studyalislam.com and look at the conference overview, we start the conference with Dr. Diouf, who is an iconic Rhodes Scholar who will talk to us about the enslaved Muslims who came to the shores of North America and brought Islam with them. And the conference is called A New Mind for a New People, because Imam Muhammad said, when we came here, we became a new people. And so this conference is designed to start us at the beginning of when Islam came to America, and then it begins to roll out the history of Imam Muhammad. It first begins with people like Imam Zayd, who is highly respected as an imam, and others, Dr. Curtis, and they're going to talk to us about organizations, because Islam didn't start for here in America with Master Farhad Muhammad. May he be in the highest place in paradise. It started before that, and we need to know that as a community, that our existence is a continuation of many organizations, though we know that the Nation of Islam made the name Muhammad, made the word Islam, made the word Muslim popular in America. It was not the beginning. And so this is being rolled out in a way that we can see the continuity, as in the dua that says to be patient and constant and truthful. And this is how this conference is being rolled out in terms of information, in terms of bringing us to understand how we became a new people here in America as Muslim African Americans. And I'm going to stop there and ask Clyde to chime in at this point.
Thank you, Sister Citra. I always humble myself when I have to come behind someone like Sister Citra, because she has a passion, but she also has insight. And I think one of the most valuable things that I think we got from Imam Warthy Muhammad, and I said one of, I didn't say the, please don't hold me to that, is this whole thing about balance. And, but now my challenge in talking about Imam Warthy Muhammad, it's where to start. I mean, his impact is so wide and touches every aspect of life, you know, of our life, of the life of the country, of the life of the planet, that you just don't know where to start. So I give myself the freedom to start in the way that seems most relevant for the environment that I find myself in at a particular time. And when Sister Fitcher was talking about Dr. Diouf, and I may be pronouncing her name wrong, but I know it's Senegalese, and I think I have it right. What her presence as the kind of introductory speaker by default, because she's speaking at the dinner, really made me reflect on the richness of the perspective that Imam Warthy Muhammad brought to us. And to an extent, this was a continuation of some things that were happening in different ways with his father. Imam Warthy Muhammad, he brought us Al-Islam, but putting light on our story as he was bringing us Al-Islam, so that we could see Al-Islam, the truth that is Al-Islam, many of the truths that are Al-Islam, were the things that were actually moving us forward anyway, before we got the vocabulary Al-Islam. Then there's, of course, the fact that our people have these deep Islamic roots. And I think we're finding out time and time again that the number of Africans that were enslaved that were Muslims, or the percentage of them that were Muslim, that percentage keeps going up for some reason. And I think we're going to find out what that reason is pretty soon. American Islamic College in Chicago, it would be easy for me to go into certain particulars that basically tie them to us. But I don't think I have to do that initially. I think what I have to do initially is pretty much say the tone for acceptance of Islamic anything in Chicago, Islamic institutions, Islamic culture, you know, Islamic dress, Islamic names, the wide acceptance of that is heavily, if not, I mean, you can't talk about that without crediting Imam Warthy Muhammad.
I mean,
because that environment would not have been there had it not been for him. I will get into some particulars later, but that is just simply the reality. I don't think he wants us to just talk about him and just promoting his personality. He's made that very clear. But he also made it clear that we are Imam Warthy Muhammad.
That's
you know, we are Imam Warthy Muhammad's reflection to the society. And that we goes beyond just African-Americans, although we were blessed to be the community that he came to in a very direct way. But we were never the only community that he was addressing, both in terms of the relevance of his message, but even in terms of the people that he was actually going out talking with, interacting with, et cetera. I was reading recently, I believe it was the Muslim World. It could be wrong about the journal, and you know, Brother Imam, you might be able to help me here. The article that they did shortly after the passing of Imam Warthy Muhammad that showed the high station he had in their mind and in the wider Islamic community, and particularly the community of Islamic scholarship, was much greater than most of us probably imagined. He said that to us in indirect ways a number of times, and I believe him. Absolutely. I never doubted him. But to read it there brought a whole nother level of certainty and reflection and thought to me about how easy it is to underestimate his importance. American Islamic College came about after Imam Warthy Muhammad had put on the table the effort, the need for us to actually have Islamic education pretty much from the preschool level all the way through college. And he made very concrete steps, I mean very concrete steps, toward actually establishing, getting approval for, and the plan was to open American Muslim Teachers College, that's the name that we've given the institution. And that institution had all the promise of being a very excellent institution, as everything that he did would have. I was fortunate to be a part of that team that actually pulled that together. I mean, it was extremely thorough, very, 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 very well-staffed, highly qualified people putting together a plan for a college, American Muslim Teachers College. It's easy to imagine the scope of it being narrower than it was because we were using the term teacher's college. And obviously it was because we know that nobody can be responsible for sustaining any educational system for our community but us. We can't trust that to anyone else. But in taking that responsibility for our community, we're really taking responsibility for the wider community too, because what has come from the language, the concepts, the leadership, the actions, et cetera, of Imam Warthy Muhammad has been repeated in a number of ways beyond our community. I'll start with the Muslim community. There was no full-time Muslim school in Chicago before Imam Warthy Muhammad and the Sister Clara Muhammad School. Muslim communities had schools, but many didn't have schools at all. I'm talking about other immigrant communities didn't have schools at all. Some of them, but hardly most of them that did have schools, they had part-time schools. And I'm not saying that to in any way reflect negatively on my brothers and sisters. I'm talking about the force that Imam Warithdin Muhammad was, the impact that he was. That's the only reason I'm making this point. Once he did that, a number of things began to happen in terms of confidence on the part of Muslims, all Muslims, not just us, but all Muslims. That confidence was driven, I think, clearly by much of the product, much of what grew from the seeds that was being planted by Imam Warithdin Muhammad. This past Thursday, I had the honor to participate in an event that was actually announcing the results of the study, the first survey on American Muslims in the state of Illinois. I think that was another really small survey about 4 years ago, but it was really, 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 really quite insignificant significant compared to this one. So there was basically a ceremony to roll this out to the Muslim community. And the Muslim brother, who was one of the biggest supporters, most financially and even in terms of taking the lead, because he actually did had a very small study about 4 years ago. He was the last one to come up and make comments. And the first thing he said before he made any other comments was, "We are here. We have to all admit that we are here because our African-American Muslim brothers and sisters paved the way for us. I'm saying we are here because Imam Warithdin Muhammad put your African-American brothers and sisters in a position to pave the way for you." And I know that in his heart he would have been fine with that. He didn't have the insight that I had to actually bring it about. Another thing that I think I'm picking up, and this is related to the speaker, is that Imam Warithdin Muhammad also appreciated those very Islamic things that were already a part of our past, and he wanted to incorporate them. He did not want to lose them. He did not want them devalued, etc. He wanted those things because those things were clear evidence that Allah had always been with us,
right,
before we had someone come to us with that language. So one of the instances I like to relate, because it really touched my heart. Most people know that I'm originally from Alabama. So I'll always be from Alabama. So I went to high school in Detroit, and I've been living in Chicago almost all my adult life since leaving college. So George Washington Carver is a very, very, very dear and precious figure to me. And I was having a conversation with the Imam about what I knew about Carver, how he approached studying nature, and how he knew that Allah had put something of good for mankind in everything in nature, and how he would actually, as they say, talk with the flowers, but he would really be praying for Allah to reveal to him what benefits he had put in that plant for human life. And Imam, we had this conversation went on and on. Eventually, Imam said, "Well, you know, I may be paraphrasing him just a little bit. I'm not sure." He said, "Well, you know, George Washington Carver was an Islamic scientist." And I was like, it was one of the happiest moments of my life, because I had such an attachment to the work of this man, to the personality of this man. And I remember going to the Carver Museum, and there was a recording of him actually teaching a physics class at Tuskegee. And the way he taught that physics class reminded me so much of the language of Imam Warithdin Muhammad, because he was teaching these students, these black students who many didn't think were good enough to go to the quote-unquote white schools, et cetera. He was teaching these students about how Allah put these things they see out in the heavens to serve humankind, and that he put these things out there as gifts for us, et cetera. And so when I heard Imam Warithdin Muhammad saying George Washington Carver was an Islamic scientist, it just truly made my day, truly made my day. Mm-hmm. So I see this conference as an opportunity for us to convene with ourselves, but just as importantly, it's an opportunity for us to convene with our brothers and sisters who believe in what we're doing, whether they call themselves Muslims or not. But many who call themselves Muslims but are not from our community, I like to say from our language environment, et cetera. But Also for people who are non-Muslim, because they need, people need to understand how they are benefiting from this community that is Waris Deen Muhammad's expression now. And that's getting back to what Mr. Fitcher said about giving him a great future.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Fitcher.
Thank you, my brother.
I want to make sure that thank you. We're not done. Keep,
I know. I know.
So I'm not hearing. I'm not hearing feedback. Good. So we're good. Fitcher, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to say that because I read this piece from the Prophet, peace be upon him, that is what motivated me.
Oh, I'm sorry, my beloved sister.
Yes.
You got a comment that your earlier comments were not heard. Now, I still don't know if they are not being heard, but Brenda, I put it like that, Brenda knows who she is. if you're not hearing it, Brenda, text me and let me know. No, we're not hearing. Or rather, and also anybody else who was there. Okay. We can hear fine. Okay. Go for
so
it.
I was saying that because I believe that Imam Muhammad, may he be in the highest place in paradise, we know that he led us to the leadership of Prophet Muhammad. And because I read this from the Prophet's last sermon, this dua that he made, it motivated me to say that all students 21 and under with a valid ID get into the conference for free. Because if the work that we are trying to do, if this conference is truly about giving Imam Muhammad a good future, then you can't charge the ones that are coming after us. This is not about money. This is about doing what the Prophet, peace be upon him. Yes, Imam Shuaib. I see your eyes. Are you trying to communicate to me that people don't hear me?
Do you see these comments? Can you?
I don't because you all hear me, and so I don't know what to do.
Okay, did you came in on the StreamYard link, did you or did you not? Did you come in on the StreamYard link?
On the StreamYard
link. Or did you go through
the
Facebook link?
Okay, hold on. I came in on the Streamline link. Do you want me to come in on the Facebook link?
No, that's the one you're right. That's why we're seeing you and I'm hearing you. I can't explain why it's going on. You know, look, this thing is so significant. I can believe that the metadata folks want to confuse the communication, you know, and make it a problem for us. Because they don't want, it's like the Tower of Babel. If we can confuse the communication, then the constructive work can't continue. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know what to say. You know, does the sister have Facebook on mute? I don't think you can mute Facebook in the way on this platform.
Maybe if we could try you logging out and logging back in.
Of course, I can do whatever
you
ask me to do.
Yeah, let's just try that. Let's try logging out and coming back in, inshallah.
All right,
okay.
Go ahead. Camila sent you there. Thank you so much. And, you know, Allah has blessed us with patience. Alhamdulillah. So,
yeah,
Camila,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm back.
Oh, you're back.
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Let's see. How do I get the video back? If you can hear me, it's not important that you see me. Can everyone hear me now?
I mean, I can.
I can hear you.
Yeah.
Apparently,
right.
Camilla can't hear you.
I can hear you on Blog Talk, but I do not hear you on the computer through the StreamYard.
Yeah.
I really don't know what to do.
Okay.
I don't know what to do. Why don't I call in?
Okay.
Clyde, can you hear me?
On...
Clyde,
Yes,
can you hear
I hear
me?
You. I hear you.
Can
I do
you
hear
please,
you. Yes.
Can you convey that the students of the age of 21 and under are free and say why? They don't need to hear me.
She was saying, basically, she just won't make sure everyone understands that students are the future. So students age 21 and under with a college ID or student ID, that includes high school students, I'm sure, that they will be admitted to the conference free because they are our future. So it's very important that they have no barriers, you know, to hearing this, you know, hearing these presentations from the dinner. Is that just the dinner or is that the dinner and the conference?
No, that's just the conference. That's the conference.
That's just the conference. So for the conference on Saturday, they if they present the student ID and they're age 21 and under, they'll be admitted free to the conference.
Exactly.
That's, okay. Yeah.
And yes, and so talk more about the conference, how important this conference is that everyone should attend.
Okay, Fitcher, I want Sister Fitcher to start trying to call back in, though, because I don't know why I'm hearing you and nobody else is hearing you.
It's because of our connection.
Oh, yeah. Our connection, okay.
All right.
So the other thing is it's really important for people all throughout our community to start promoting the conference. And I don't mean by promoting the conference. Most obviously, we want people to come to the conference. We got to pay for the conference. But even if we didn't have to pay for the conference, we want people to come to the conference. But also, and getting people to be aware of the fact that there's going to be a link. You know, they can that'll be announced at the right time. Because what the most important thing is, I really do believe this. I believe we're at the time that the fruit of Imam Warthy Muhammad is going to become so much more obvious than it has been. We know, those of us that have been around, we know that it's there. We can see it, but the public is beginning to see it. I see that a lot in terms of my interaction with communities, Muslim communities other than our direct community. They are really beginning to, there's a curiosity that's coming about. There are more people are actually finding out where they can get the materials. I believe more people are using the materials, even if they're not saying they're using the material. But the power is in the ideas. Even if someone else puts their name on them, you know, Allah is the best knower. You know, their power is in the ideas of Imam Warthy Muhammad. You know, we know the Quran tells us that Allah is the Lord of all the worlds, or all the systems of knowledge. That means that those who project his word in their deeds and their thoughts, they are affecting these systems of knowledge. We're bringing light to that. And Imam Warthy Muhammad has done that. I'm surprised, because I've been so close to things, I'm surprised at the people that are surprised that Imam Warthy Muhammad has spoken at almost every Ivy League college, you know, in the country. And I know most of us know that. Some of us don't know that either. But they didn't invite him because he had nothing to say to them. You know, they didn't invite him and only allow, quote unquote, the black students to come. Sometimes he was invited and they had to find out that he was there. Because of the people, the level that the people were on that wanted to hear what he had to say and that are following what he has to say. So I think that this is extremely valuable that it is at AIC, American Islamic College, because I think there's obviously, we probably need to do some work in terms of our relationship there. And they are very, very, very willing to do that work now. But I also, other people that are both high in academic, professional, educational, and cultural circles need to feed off of this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, alhamdulillah. Camila, I'm going to give you a shot to come in and make any comments or raise any kind of questions as the, you know, that first generation of the first generation.
Yeah, no, I don't really have any questions. I'm here absorbing and taking it in. I wish there was a way to work out the technical part, so I know that my spirit is still a little jiggly around that. But, mashallah, the best that I could say as far as, like, in regards to the event and my experience and really understanding the gift that was given, has been given to us through the Imam's language and leadership, is that he removed limitations. He removed the limitations about what this way of life means for us and how we can, you know, engage the most out of this life. And that, you know, when you gave the analogy of the mountain climber, you know, I think also of a miner, you know, someone who goes, who digs deep and is able to excavate the jewels from this earth. And he gave us those tools to be able to do so. And that is the wealth, you know, when we think about this wealth of legacy and understanding that we can see a seed and, you know, and from that, from seeing that and understanding how to look deeper and beyond something as simple as a seed, to see so many complexities, to see an entire universe and life unfold from one concept, is the gift that has been given to us through the Imam's leadership. I know that for my generation, and when I think about those that come after us, you know, I do have a little bit of a, I'm trying to put a good spin on it, but you said this is a family fable, right? There's a part of me that feels like we don't give the correct level of credit and the proper amount of honoring due to what has been given to us as a result. And then there are some that, you know, take what it is that we do have and not plug back to where it came from. Right, the way that we honor our pioneers, the way that we engage and unfold and embrace the Quran in a way that is practical and with ease and feels natural and authentic to our experience, that in no way, shape, or form was his leadership trying to erase the existence of who we are, but to magnify and to broaden who we are without the need, or it wasn't a selfish, oppressive need. Like so many people can abuse leadership to oppress a people and oppress them in a way that says, no, you can only go as far as what it is that I give you. And then when you challenge that, I have to figure out a way to hide and keep secret these certain parts of knowledge so that I can be remain above you. And that has not been our experience within this community. It has been the key to open up doors to any room, that we can enter a room with billionaires, even though we're middle class, and still hold the conversation and have the ideas and feel worthy and valuable enough to bring a new technology, new ideas, new education, and enter those spaces confident because we have those tools that have been given to us through the Imam's leadership.
Alhamdulillah. So Fitra, I think the brother Abdul Shaheed, he did make a point that registers with me. He said, at Facebook, you can hear all but Fitra. Sometimes on StreamYard, the user has to select the correct audio mic. Now, I can relate to that because let me show you all this. So this is the mic that feeds into my computer, so that's not the that's not, where am I at here? Messing up. So this mic is coming directly into the computer. Otherwise, it's like if you're on the computer and you have your system preferences and it's asking you which microphone are you using. If you're using, I'm sorry, I was just muting myself. If you're using the internal mic, then so when you muted yourself so as not to have this feedback from me, then it also perhaps cut off the speaker, or pardon me, the mic that feeds into like I said, into the stream. Any case, I can't hear you at all right now.
We can hear you on the computer. Whatever you did, don't touch it.
We just can't hear you on Blog Talk now. So one of those switches. Hold on. All right, Spencer, let's see what's going
on. Can you hear me?
Is that I spoke too soon last time? Yes, I can hear you, and others have been able to hear you. I'm getting
thumbs up from the
same ones that told me that you could be heard. So, inshallah. All right, brother Harold Brown, can you hear?
Can you hear me?
Who thinks? Can you hear? Y'all, check in. Okay.
I think
we're hearing you. We're hearing.
Yes. I want to say.
Yes, we can hear.
I want to say when we speak about Imam Muhammad, may he be in the highest place in paradise, we
Amen.
All speak with one voice. So the things that Clyde has just said, I mean, I can say them again in a different way, but I think what is most important is that that because they didn't hear me, I want to repeat what Imam Muhammad asked us to give him a good future. I think that is the most important point of this conference. And that good future, I think that when he gave us that concept of giving him a good future, he wasn't talking about me. I'm that leaf on the tree that has brown on the edge of my leaf. I'm getting ready to fall off that tree any day. Allah knows best, but I know that I'm at the top of that tree. But he said, give him a good future, like our prophet, peace be upon him, said when he made the dua at the end of his last talk at Hajj. And this dua read, all those who listen to me shall pass on my words to others, and those to others again. And may the last ones understand my words better than those who listen to me directly. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was talking to the people that was sitting right there, just like you and I and Clyde, and who Imam Muhammad was talking to us. Give him a good future. And what he was saying is what Prophet Muhammad was saying. Pass his words on to those who come after us, and those who come after them, Camilla's children, and Camilla's children's children. Let's continue to pass this word on, and that's how we give Imam Muhammad a good future. This is not about us talking about what we did in the Nation of Islam, what we did under Imam Muhammad's leadership. It is about us expressing the words through our work. And by having this kind of conference where you have this kind of academia, you have these scholars, you have these students of Imam Muhammad who know his language, who can articulate it. You have people, you know, one person asked me, well, why is Siraj on there? I'll tell you why Siraj is on there. Imam Siraj, forgive me for being disrespectful. Because Imam Muhammad said to Imam Siraj that he respected him for having the sincerity of heart to come to him and say to him, Brother Imam, I want to explore what I'm feeling inside of me. And because Imam Muhammad he told us that having one leadership is not Islamic. He said that's not the Quran. We all have the capacity to lead and express this religion if we understand it correctly. We all have the capacity to be caliphs on this earth. And so when Imam Siraj came to Imam Muhammad and expressed that he wanted to leave, and if you look on the conference, I ask him to reflect that. Give us your reflection of what it was like as an imam under Imam Muhammad's leadership when you came to him and told him that you wanted to leave and explore other things. I have the transcript. I can send it to anybody because it's a public transcript. Imam Muhammad praised Imam Siraj for being sincere, for being honest, which more of us need to practice that sincerity and honesty. So this conference, and let me just say this conference will not be live streamed. If you're not there, you won't hear it anytime soon. So you want to be in Chicago with us. You want to be there and feel that spirit of the knowledge that's going to be shared from many academias, from many aspects. We're going to talk about the organizations before the Nation of Islam. Some of us believe that, you know, it all began with the Nation of Islam. It did not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is a continuation. This is not the beginning. This is not the middle. We started by taking the baton and running with it. And we are so grateful to Imam Muhammad who took us to the Quran and to Prophet Muhammad, because there will not be another prophet after Prophet Muhammad. And we are just grateful to be on this path. And so if you didn't hear me, I hope you heard me now. And it's affordable.
We heard you.
I mean, the conference is $40. Look. Where do you go to a conference all day with this level of scholars for $40? Right. I mean, and right. Again, I want to say all students 21 and down are free. Because I'm following what Imam Muhammad asked me to do, asked us to do. All of us who are contributing, we are giving him a good future.
All right. Can I get a couple of bars in this jam session right here?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I get emails from Brother Ajib Bilal, which I'm sure that everybody, maybe not Camila. Maybe she doesn't know Ajib Bilal, but Ajib Bilal.
Oh, I get them too, brother. Man,
you get them too. So, I mean, every jazz master that you can imagine, he is sending us something.
I know.
Straight classics, right? And so I'm just saying, you know, everybody, you know, let me play my horn. Let me play my little piece of this set before we close out.
Yes, please.
Hey, y'all don't know. I know Naima got pipes, Fitter. But that girl right there that you see up there in the upper right hand screen, that girl got pipes. Trust that. Y'all gotta hear.
Wow.
Oh man.
I need to know from you. Wait, brother, I got to flip the script on you. I need you to tell me why this conference is important to you, because you are one of the
That's exactly what I'm going to do right now.
Allahu Akbar.
And I'm going to do a blog talk exclusive for you right now. I know that you said that you don't want me to make commentary about what it is I intend to present. I won't do that.
That's right.
But I will tell you the providence of it all in relative to me, right? Because all of it, you know, we're doing Allah's will, inshallah, right? So things happen. I mean, the psychological terminology for some is that synchronicity, right? So it's like it's some major thing that happened that seems to fall right in place, right in line. There was a paper that I wrote under a request from an unnamed person of a major college and major leadership institution. It was for a major scholarly journal. And it was an article about Imam Waqidi Muhammad. Mm-hmm. And so, but it never got published. It never got published. This person was calling for these calling for these papers, but it never got published, right? So that means it's never been expressed. But the theme of it and the thesis of it is Imam Muhammad's life. I can say it. This won't be the same title, but it will be basically this: A Lifetime Amongst Us. A Lifetime Amongst Us, right? And so I actually already have it. The paper that I'll be presenting in September, minus some minor edits, based on the time that we have available, and based on the fact that I'll try to be fluent enough in my reading of it, so that I can read it fluently and engagingly, but stay within that particular time frame and get the whole story told. So the point is, it is of that, intellectual journal caliber. So that's how I'll be coming with regard to that, telling this story in connection with Imam Muhammad as the unique and blessed character that he is. And so I'm going to actually conclude my comments with this. This is what I wanted to be sure to say today. Of course, mashallah, we just had, my wife and I, we had our 50th wedding anniversary, a surprise renewal of wedding vows in my backyard. It was all a good thing. And I want to share an experience that bears on both points. And it's the ice cream yogurt experience. It's the ice cream yogurt experience. So Berkeley, California, as you all know about, you know, where UC Berkeley is the mainstay of that city. Well, they were the first to have these kind of natural foods type restaurants, right? So we would go out to natural foods restaurant. And so, you know, we had our nice little dining together. You know, I mean, what is a dinner without ending with some dessert? So naturally we want pie a la mode, right? We want some of that hot apple pie and a nice dollop of ice cream on top of it. Delicious. So they come out with the warm apple pie and with the dollop of vanilla on top of it. And so Yolanda and I, you know how we do. You know, you got to have one spoon. She had one spoon. I had one spoon. We both eating off the same plate. You know how we do that, right? So both her and I, we dip into the pie and the ice cream. You know, you got to get enough of that crust, enough of that apple, enough of that cream on top of it so you can get the whole thing. You know I like to eat, right? So both of us put our spoons in our mouth at the same time, eye to eye, and her eyes kind of bucked and my eyes kind of bucked at the same time looking at each other because we were reacting to what it was that we were eating. And so then we both said, this ice cream is sour. It must be spoiled, right? All right. So then we called the waiter over and said, this ice cream, something wrong with it, right? They looked at it and said, okay, let me go back to the kitchen and see what's going on, right? And you know it's risky business sending your food back to the kitchen, right? But in any case, they come back. they come back. And what they said was, no, that's not vanilla ice cream. That's yogurt. And then we said, oh. So we went on eating. We didn't ask for vanilla ice cream. We didn't ask for it. We were disappointed first when we were expecting something and we didn't get that. But then when our expectations changed, materially nothing changed. It was the same cream. It was the same pie. Our expectations changed, and when our expectations changed, satisfaction returned, right? Mm. So what was the problem? The problem was the perspective that was taken about what you expected. So if you don't have the proper perspective on something, you could be unduly disappointed. It's not because the thing is wrong. It's because your perspective is wrong, okay? Now, the theme of the conference, right? A new mind for a new people. Is that the right
that's it.
Entitlement?
That's it.
A new mind for a new people. And that's the big thrust of
my
portion
of the forward. Don't forget that. It's a new mind for new people, a way forward.
Yes. A way forward, a new mind for a new people. Yeah, and so I think I can keep time simple because we're down to about 5 minutes formally. We can always go over, but formally speaking. So watch this. A new mind means a new way of thinking. A new way of thinking means a new way of seeing. Mm-hmm. A new way of seeing is a new way of being, right? And it actually it elaborates to the point where we all live in the world of our perspective. That's our reality. Your reality, you're seeing me from your perspective. I'm seeing you from my perspective, from a physical point of view, right? So therefore, I can't see from where you are sitting, and you can't see from where I am sitting. Each one of us is seeing from where we're sitting. And that's how it is psychologically, how we're psychologically situated, how we are situated in the world determines our perspective, right? So if you look at how we were situated, yeah, I'm just using the simplest because of time. The simplest dimension of we were situated in the Nation of Islam, thinking about God, thinking about blacks and whites in that color conscious language. We were thinking about it from a certain perspective. We were thinking about Islam from a certain perspective. We thought that we were the real Muslim, everybody else was faking, right? I'm talking about the Nation of Islam. And then here comes Imam Muhammad, because we were the original man, right? So here comes Imam Muhammad and corrects that wrong perspective. But does it, oh, man. I deal with the analogy that comes to my head right away. It's like I'm not really a bowler at all, not really a good bowler at all, but I know about a split. Right? So I'm like, okay, in the first bowl, boom, maybe you knocked down 8 of the pins, but you left 2 pins standing, right? And they're not right next to each other, right? So it's like you're going to have to put the right spin on that ball in order to pick up that spare, I think is the language, and get, quote, unquote, a full, whatever it's called. It's not a strike, but whatever, to clear it up and knock down those 2. This is what Imam Muhammad did. He had to, he had to be able to accomplish major psychological, spiritual, political, economic work even in what he did. And he did that masterfully. And he gave us a new perspective on everything, on God, on creation, on our own nature, et cetera. And last thing I'll say about this, because we just have to put a comma on it and keep going. I was talking to a brother today. He was talking about an invitation to a foreign country. I won't detail it. But in the course of that conversation, he was talking about all the many places that he, in his work, has traveled on behalf of Imam Muhammad with regard to interfaith activity. Dr. Imam Talib in Washington, D.C. is a very fine model of that very thing. And the high place that Imam Muhammad has had and had in the world with regard to his interfaith work and with regard to respect for his stature and all these levels of action and all these levels of whatever interest, it's like it's an ongoing thing, that truth, that life that Imam Muhammad has asked for. It is being extended by Study al-Islam and by these kinds of works. That is the life evolving. That is the life growing. That is creating more of a body, if you will, a spiritual body, a social body, an intellectual body for Imam Wahdati Muhammad. And this is only a part of the significance of this particular conference. So much more to be said, and inshallah, it will be, God willing. I'm going to step back, and everybody can have their closing comments, and we move on.
Well, certainly hard to follow. That's very hard to follow. I will take the privilege of saying that. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you get? Okay, good. I will take the privilege of saying It's really great to touch base with you again, Brother Imam. And
yeah, likewise.
We do have we have something wonderful in common now. I have a granddaughter named Camilla. You have a daughter named Camilla.
Ah,
so I've always liked to be in this, I always want to be in some kind of club with you, because you and many many others, one of the things I think about a lot, because I mean, I do the best I can, but I know that I've always been the administrator who makes these things happen in education, and I picked up a lot being around it. And one of the things Imam Warfuddin Muhammad has left us is a legacy of scholars. And I'm not saying this because you're sitting here at all, because you know that there's a list of them. Some of them have basically, some of them have gone out with the understanding they had from Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, enriched themselves with that lens that they had, they got from him. Some of them have kind of stayed, some of them have just explored in that language more so than they've gone out. Some have come from a whole other academic tradition and come. But they've all been made richer, and we've all been made richer because the Imam has brought a perspective that's pristine. That's the best word I can say about it, because you know, one of the biggest problems of the world has been scriptural, whatever the opposite of integrity is, you know, that gets to the masses.
Corruption,
you know, and because the Imam brought us to Quran. I mean, alhamdulillah, but the Imam also brought us perspectives and clarity.
Yeah.
On the scriptures that came before, which the Quran does but many folks, to many people who would never open the Quran because they don't see themselves as Muslims, they don't see that as what they need to do, are benefiting from it, and they are benefiting society because they are benefiting from it.
Yes, yes, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Yeah. All right, Fitra and Haja, we're about to sign off. What you got?
I just want to say that I'm so grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have been inspired to plan this third conference. I want everyone to know that the priority at this conference is that we all are safe. Masks will be required in the auditorium at all times. We're trying to move the dinner to the outside if the weather will permit, so that we don't cause anybody to be sick. So all I can say is we've been apart for almost 3 years. COVID has done a number on our social healthiness. This is an opportunity to come to Chicago like the good old days, see people that you love, embrace, and be reinvigorated to get back that spirit that may have become dull because you haven't been to the masjid, or you haven't been to an event, or you haven't been able to visit your family. Well, this is what this conference will do. This is going to put us all in the same place, give us the opportunity to see one another. And most important that Imam Muhammad gave me when we talk about perspective is he taught me the value of a sincere heart. And he said, when you have a sincere heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak directly. You will hear him. And I really do believe that going to this conference, having this conference at AIC has been decreed by God. And so all I can say is, inshallah, we will see you there September the 23rd and the 24th, or the 22nd and the 23rd, 23rd and the 24th. I hope to see everyone there. I know we are all looking forward to spending this time together. This is going to be a great conference. These are some great minds being convened on some very, very insightful topics. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you with safety.
Amen. Alhamdulillah.
Hajj, amen.
You're going to close us out. Hajj, we're going.
The only words that I can say without dropping any tears, because it's so full. I'm just really full by this experience. And just to have a chance to, you know, hear the reflective stories just from this space, like, there needs to be more spaces like this for us to really understand how grateful we need to be to show how much Allah loves us, who has planted us in a community of individuals who have a sense of freedom and access to this way of life. And I'm immensely grateful, thoroughly grateful. So, yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
All right. Well, alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Brother Clyde. It's good seeing your face, hearing
your
voice.
Seeing you, my brother.
Strengthening that bond. Those that fire together, wire together. So we're
increasing
our network. And alhamdulillah, may we have an opportunity to exchange just on a brotherly level at another time as well. Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. Keep up the good work.
September the 23rd and the 24th, you all will get to see each other in person.
I'm looking forward to that fond embrace. I'm looking forward to that. Alhamdulillah. Allah's peace be on everyone. Thank you so much for your help.
Thank you.
Those that came through, that got us through the technical difficulty, you stuck with us and you made a contribution. Rather than just complain, say, look, this is how you fix it. Tag beer.
That's right.
How it goes. So we have some wonderful models of how to get it done. Right. Hey, look, so y'all going to open up something else, right? Let me tell you this. Words mean what they make you do, right? So see, that's... What you're actually pointing to is, that is a problem when we use the word and connect it with the wrong action, right? So that you misinterpret the word, right? But also, those words that you say that you don't follow up with action, then you're showing that you really don't understand the meaning of the word, right? So all that requires some kind of unraveling. But mashallah, it's wonderful. Let's get out of here. God's peace be on you.
All right.
May Allah bless the effort with the greatest, greatest success. MashaAllah. Assalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa
ta'ala. Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, Brother Imam Ali. Tamila.
Thank you.
My wife.
Alhamdulillah.
Wa alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Wa alaikum assalam. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Talk, talk, we're out.
I don't want to leave.
Well, actually,